When I was young, when I was very young, my father used to get newspapers and magazines in the mail. He used to have be conservative and orthodox and reform rabbis would write essays that would always quote Rabbi Cook on philosophy. So I never was interested in reading anything by Rabbi Cook. I thought it was a philosopher that the conservatives and the reform were interested in quoting from. Until many, many years later, way after I was married already, then I got this, I started reading Rav Neria. Zechan Racha gave me one sefer of his. He wrote about 7 svarim about Rav Cook, so I read that. I was very taken by this Rav Cook. A real Orthodox. So I realized that these conservative and reform rabbis who were quoting his philosophy were totally quoting out of context. It had nothing to do with what the man wrote. There was an essay recently in Hamavasa about Rabbi Cook. Absolute apikursis, all in the name of Rabbi Cook. You can say whatever you don't please because his lashon is so difficult. You can interpret whatever you want. But Lamaisa Rabbi Cook just says traditional hashkafa satir. Everything is based on Rab Chaim Volozhiner and Lubavitch. His mother was from Lubavitch and his father went to Volozhiner. So everything is straight traditional hashkafa. That someone should be able to say in the name of Rabbi Cook that the halacha changes. And you have a right in the later generations to paskin against what it says in Tanakh, according to the Rambam. That's one of the Yud Gimli Kor Hemun. That's outright apikursis. There is no such thing. Maybe there is such a thing. That's the main difference between the conservative and the orthodox. Is exactly this. That's conservative Judaism. That's not orthodoxy. You say that Rabbi Cook said that. You can say someone else said it. But say that Rabbi Cook said that. It's ridiculous. It's scandalous. There's a famous comment that the Kedusha Slavi has on today's Sedra. It says in the Psukim in Parshas Boy that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded the Israel they should knock on the next door neighbor's doors and they should ask for matonis. So it says that they listened to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the expression used is Bnei Yisrael Osu Kidvar Moshe. They did exactly as Moshe Rabbeinu had told them. Then Moshe Rabbeinu commanded Bnei Yisrael they should bring a Korban Pesach. So the Pasuk says Vayas Bnei Yisrael Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. So the Kedusha Slavi points out, why is there a Shinui Loshon? That here it says Kidvar Moshe, and here it says Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. So he says that's exactly the difference. That knocking on the next door neighbor's doors and asking for matanas was only a Hayra Shor. It's not a Din L'Doyres. That's going to change. So that's not called a Mitzvah. That's Kidvar Moshe. That's the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's exactly what a Nevuah is all about. Nevuah means a Hayra Shor. But bringing a Korban Pesach, that's a Din L'Doyres. This Korban Pesach Mitzrayim had with it a whole bunch of Hayra Shors. And instead of Zvikas Adam on the Mizbeach, the Zvikas Adam was on the Shtem Zuzas Vala Mashkoif, and there was no Haktaris Emurim on the Mizbeach. The Gemara says they were Makhtadi Emurim on the floor. And there are a lot of other things. Mastechem Chagurim, Nalechem Braglechem, Akelchem Biyetchem. It says Al Yetzi Ishmet Pesach Besad Baiker. A whole bunch of other Hayrosha. These were all Hayrosha. But the basic principle that there is such a thing as a Korban Pesach, that's a Din L'Doyres. That's why the Pasuk uses the expression, that's exactly what Rashi writes in the beginning of Parshas Tzav. The name of the Tanaim, main Loshen Tzav, the Loshen Zira, is Miyad Ladaris. A mitzvah means mitzvah Nahegis Ladaris. The laws of the Torah don't change. Hayrasha can change. The laws of the Torah don't change. Now, Soloveitchik has in one of his published essays, but it's not that he only said it one time. This was a common theme. He says that this idea was agreed upon by both the Alter Rebbe, the Balatanya and the Nefesh HaChaim, who sometimes disagree with each other in certain detailed points, but on this they both say exactly the same, that this is a basic principle in Orthodoxy, in Judaism, that is. Conservative is totally not. This is a basic principle in Orthodoxy, that the laws of the Torah do not change. Why? Because Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change. We believe that the laws of the Torah are not merely a collection of laws, it's a description of Elokus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence doesn't change, so the laws of the Torah don't change. You have sometimes a concept, sometimes if there's a questionable issue, it's not explicit, so there's more than one opinion is acceptable. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give explicitly to Moshe Rabbeinu what the din should be, so it leaves it up to the discretion, leaves it up to the Hachrov, the Chachmei HaTorah, Shebechol Dor V'Dor. So you have a different generation, sometimes they pass it one way, sometimes they pass it another way, but that's not considered the laws of the Torah changing. It could have happened in the same generation in Machleged Bishana Bisil, and Eilu Bielu Dibur Lekim Chaim. So that we have also in different generations, the Psak changes because the generally accepted opinion is different. But it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to man. That's what they put into the mouth of Rabbi Cook, put in all kinds of treifas in his mouth. He's bit, so they can put in whatever they want. they put into the mouth of Rabbi Cook that the Rabban Shalom reveals himself to man in the later generations, even in contradiction to what it says in Tanakh, even against what it says in the Chumash. The Rabban Shalom doesn't change, and the laws of the Torah don't change. And this is exactly the main difference between conservative Judaism and Orthodox Judaism. Orthodox Judaism believes that that's the Iker, that the Dina HaTorah is Asa Torah Lo Sehi Machlefes. The laws of the Torah do not change. There is a comment, I think Rabbi Hirsch has this comment in his Pirush on Chumash. The Medrash discusses why these different makas, more possibilities, million and one possibilities of makas, why did Rabban Shalom pick Dafka and Dam, Tzvadeh, Akinim, and so on. So on Choshech, he has an interesting comment, I think it's in Rabbi Hirsch, that imagine in New York, whenever there's a blackout, so you have tremendous looting. The alarms won't go off and the police won't be able to come. When there's no lights, when it's dark, you can do whatever you want. So imagine if there would be choshech, l'chol b'nei Yisrael, ha'yorv v'mashvasim, the Jews can see what's going on and the goyim can't see what's going on. So one would have expected, this is mamash ebed ki imloch, the Jews are now freed, so they should have taken the kamah from their masters, from the Adonim who were torturing them for so many years, so they should have stolen everything that they had. Nothing was missing. They asked them, they knocked on the next door neighbor's doors, and they asked them for matonis, but no one stole anything. So Rabbi Hirsch, I think, suggests that maybe that's the reason why the Rabban Shalom wanted Bedavke to have this Makas Choshech, to show them in Tzuri and what kind of people the Bnei Yisrael are. And that's what we're supposed to be also. Even when no one's watching, even when no one's able to catch us, you're not supposed to gamve either. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that having mispal b'shalom shal malchus shal molem v'ra ish yisrei yuchayim b'loi. If not for the police, there would be looting. People would kill each other, but that's not, we're not supposed to act like that. We're supposed to act even if the police, even if the alarm doesn't go, even if there is a blackout, we're supposed to act in a decent fashion, like at the time of the Makas Choshech. Why not? Well, what's not Elach about that? They asked for matanis. If the Nochi will say, I don't have, so he said, but I saw in your home that you do have such a thing. So the Nochi has a choice of yes to give or not to give. The Pasuk says that they gave, Beitan Hashem, Eschein Hom, Beyeni Mitzrayim. It says that they gave out of their free will. No one twisted their arm. They had a prayer not to give.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, well, I mean, the Egyptian wouldn't think that you would sort of have, you know, 100%, it would be nice if we just didn't go there at all. Yeah.
Okay. According to that medrash seems a little bit not like this. Okay.
Rabbi, on the Greek chayv, you said before, you came at Kidvar Moshe means it's a Hora Shah.
Mm-hmm.
This Horah Shah was also a few people were. You know, the Rabbi Shah was also saying this before you do it. So that part sounds a little bit strange because, you know, it's not Kibar Moshe, that's also Kibar Moshe.
No, but the term mitzvah is a technical term that only applies ein loshin sabal loshin ziris miyad aluderis. The term mitzvah is a technical term.
Even with, still the Kibar Moshe doesn't seem to fit in so well because it should be,
okay.
Like that.
That's what it means. No, the Mishnah has an expression. Ha'oival divei Novi is chay misa v'deshman. Ha'oival divei Novi doesn't mean the Novi made it up on his own. It means the Novi says in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the Novi asks me to do something on his own, I'm not mechuyev to listen. The Novi says in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called divei Novi. The Pasuk says, Vayikach Chatzos HaLayla V'Hashem Hikol Kol B'chor, that Makas B'chor has occurred exactly at Chatzos. So exactly, Chatzos keeps on changing. The world turns on its axis, the globe turns on its axis, and Chatzos keeps on, as you keep on going west, Chatzos is a moment later and a moment later. So that's what the Mishlam Melech points out in his Drush Sefer. That Makas Becharis didn't occur in the whole Eretz Mitzrayim. Eretz Mitzrayim has a certain width, quite a few hundred miles, no. So Makas Becharis didn't occur exactly at the same instant over the whole Eretz Mitzrayim. So he suggests, and Mishlam Melech suggests in the Parashas Drachim, maybe that's why it says V'Avarti, the Eretz Mitzrayim Malayla. So what's V'Avarti? That the Rebbe Shalom didn't do Makas Becharis in 1 second over the whole Mitzrayim. Every city it was at Chatzai, so he went, the Rebbe Shalom went from right to left, he went from east to west, And every city, when it was Chatzos, then the firstborn would die. Oh, okay. He should have seen the Mishlam. Yeah. And today said where we have the mitzvah of Kviyas Haluach. That's Hachodesh Hazalachem Rosh Chodoshim. And the Rambam counts this as one mitzvah of Kviyas Haluach, including both Kiddush Hachodesh and Iber HaShonah. The Ramban and the Sefer Mitzvahs disagrees with the Rambam. The Ramban and the Smag and a few other reasons, they count these as two distinct mitzvahs. One separate mitzvah, Hachodesh Hazalachem Rosh Chodoshim, is a mitzvah of Kiddush Hachodesh. And they count as a separate mitzvah, Iber HaShonah. The Ramban is not sure exactly in the Sefer Mitzvahs which pasuk should be quoted, which pasuk should be considered the pasuk that gives the tzivui on the Iber HaShonah. He suggests one of the two pasukim. He suggests is "Veshamarta sachuka hazos lemoadam miyamim yamim." The pasuk later on in Parshas Voy, that pasuk appears after speaking about Hakrovas Korban Pesach, and then about speaking about Tefillin. Here the pasuk is in chapter Yud Gimel, pasuk Yud, "Shamarta sechuka hazos." You should observe this chukah. So which chukah is it talking about? So the pasuk first speaks about when you come there, it's Canaan. Then you have the avarkes avaydazes b'chodesh azeh. That's in pasuk here. You'll bring korban pesach, and then it says you should wear tefillin. Ohay lachol yos halyotcha pasuk tes. There's a korban b'nech. You should wear tefillin. Then "Shamarta sechuka hazos." Does that refer to the chukas hatfillin, or does it refer to the chukas hapesach? So the Gemara, in the end, the last parak in Erevin, that's Machlokes HaTanai, whether B'chukes HaPesach HaKas Medaber, or B'chukes HaTfilin. So the Ramban makes a suggestion, maybe it means quite a different thing. It doesn't mean you should observe the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. You should see to it that Pesach should fall out in the Chodesh HaAviv, by doing a Shana Muberes. And every several years, you should see to it that you make an Ibra Shana. And Gamsa Natar Pshat, not like any of the Tanoim. How does the Ramban every so often Achumish has such a thing? He gives his own interpretation against all the Tanoim, but he considers Pshut to Shambik. So here the Ramban makes such a suggestion. He thinks that these should be counted as two distinct mitzvahs. Kiddush HaChodesh and Yibar HaShanah should be two mitzvahs, and he suggests possibly that the Shamarta Sechukah Azos Lemoado should perhaps be the mocker for the mitzvah of Yibar HaShanah. The pasuk says that this was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Achodesh is Elohim, and the Gemara understands that Moshe Rabbeinu had the status. Moshe Rabbeinu Mamaka Mayin Aleph Koy. Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of Shivim the Echod Zikayim. So the Rambam, both in the Mishneh Torah as well as in the Sefer Mitzvahs, quotes from a Mechilta the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that the Kiddush Achodesh and the Iber HaShonah, which are both included in this pasuk, Achodesh Elohim, were both nimsa to the Bezn Hagadol. It has to be taken care of by the Bezn Hagadol Dafka. The Ramban disagrees with this. He says, where does he come off to say such a thing? It's not correct. And the Gemara just says you just need a bezna of three. Why should you say that you need a bezna gadol? The Rambam says, yeah, bezna of three does the act of Kiddush HaChodesh, but it has to be under the auspices of the bezna gadol. Bezna gadol has to authorize which bezna of three has the right to do the Kiddush HaChodesh. So the Ramban says this idea doesn't appear anywhere in the Talmud Bavli. The only mocker the Rambam quotes is in the Chilta de Rashi. He thinks that the Gemara does not seem to back up the Rambam at all, and he has a right that the Rambam is wrong. Rambam himself quotes that the practice of Kiddush HaChodesh al-Pi HaRiyah, based on witnesses coming and testifying, was observed until the days of Hillel HaSheni. Hillel HaSheni was the son of Rabbi Yudah HaNasi, who was the grandson of the famous Rabbi Yudah HaNasi, who edited the Mishnayos. Just not to confuse the two, so we call one of them Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, or Rabbi Yudah HaNasi, and the grandson we call Rabbi Yudah Nasiya. But Rabbi Yudah Nasiya is the same thing as saying Rabbi Yudah HaNasi. He was the Nasi in his generation. So his son was Hillel HaSheni, not to be confused with the famous Hillel Shammai, who lived 100 years before the destruction of Bai Sheni. So this Hillel HaSheni was way later. And their contemporaries were Abai Verava in Bavel. Abai Verava were alive, and during their lifetime, that's when they established the Luach that we use today. We use the Luach of Hillel HaSheni. So the Ramban asks that the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah and Afches and in Sanhedrin a few places that the Bezna HaGadol disappeared 40 years before the destruction of the Bai Sheni. Bai Sheni was Chorev in the year 70. 40 years before, in the year 30, the Sanhedrin disappeared, because the Gemara says Abayim Sharekhan Shechar Abayim is Golsa Sanhedrin. They left the Lishkas Agosas, and they went to a different location, which is called Chanus, and then they went to another location, Esther Goli is Gosas Sanhedrin, till they totally disappeared. By the days of Abai Berovet, by the days of Hila Sheni, there was not Bezna Gorel. So how can the Rambam claim that Kiddush HaChedush of Tihariyah in Ibra Shona has to be done by the Bezna HaGorel? And the Rambam writes Terech Kedidiba that up until the days of Abai Berovet, he quotes the Gemara Rosh Hashanah in the second Terech of Rosh Hashanah, till the days of Abai Berovet, till the counterparts in Eretz Yisrael, till Hillel Hasheni, they still practice Kiddush HaChedush HaPi Ariyah, and they sent out Shluchim to notify everybody when they declared, when they had determined where Shchedush was. It's impossible. There was no Bez Nagodol at that time. This is the Taina of the Rambam. So the Megillas Esther, on the side of the Sefer Mitzvahs, comes to defend the Rambam. So he writes that the Rambam probably thinks that din in the Gemara, that once the Sanhedrin goes into Golus, they don't have the status of Sanhedrin anymore. That's based on the pasuk that says by Zoken Mamre, they come to the Alisa El Hamokom, Ashid Hashem Elokecha, and you have to follow the psak of the Bez Nagodol. So the Gemara comments on that phrase, Malamit Shahamokom Goreim, that the Bez Nagodol has to convene in the Lishkas Hagozes, in the Beis Hamikdash. And if they're not convening in their official location, in their official site, then they don't have the status of Bez Nagodol. So the Megillas Esther writes in his commentary, apparently the Rambam is of the opinion that that's only vis-a-vis Din and Nefashos. It doesn't affect any of the other functions of the Bez Nagodol. There is such a comment made by the Keren Ayra as well in the first perek in Soto. Keren Ayra is a commentary on the Gemara. So the Tosis has a kasha on the Gemara in Soto. The Mishnah says in the first perek that when a husband brings his wife to the Beis Hamikdash and he suspects her of being Sota, Asura Labayla, so the Bez Nagodol has to intervene and they have to give Musar and they have to supervise the Hashkoas Nei Soto. So Tosfos is the kasha. So 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Bez Nagodol disappeared, and the Gemara says at a later point, 20 years or so before the Churban Bayis Sheni, that's when they discontinued the Nesot, and the Gemara gives a whole sociological reason why they discontinued it. So Tosfos is the kasha, but it should have been discontinued 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, when there's no Bez Nagodol, so they're not able to participate. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim, that each and every Sota has to get a Musa Shmuz from the Bez Nagodol. So if the Bez Nagodol ceased to exist, so years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, there shouldn't be any Sota anymore. So Taisa says that the participation of Bez Nagodol is not Likuvah. It's just Lachatchila. The Chazal learned that from a Pasuk, that Lachatchila, the proper thing is Bez Nagodol should try to give Musa to the husband, to the wife, to try to straighten it out, to give the marriage counseling. But without the marriage counseling, without the Bez Nagodol, they can also proceed with the whole ceremony of the Sota. And the Keren Ayra on that thesis in the first perek in Soto makes the same suggestion as the Megillas Esther, that maybe the halacha that Melamed Shehamachim Gorim, when the Bez Nagodol is not meeting in the Lishkas Hagozes, they lose their status, they lose their special role as Bez Nagodol. Maybe that's only a din with respect to Din and Nefashos. That's the only case where the Gemara quotes. And maybe with respect to everything else that needs Bez Nagodol, maybe they do maintain the status of Bez Nagodol even after leaving the Lishkas Hagozes. In fact, that's what the Rambam has for the Gemara. The Rambam says that it's a Gemara in the very end of Rosh Hashanah, that Esa Golias goes to Sanhedrin, to the Chanus, into the into Shvarim and Tveria and Tzipori and different location, Usha, different cities back and forth. And then the Gemara says where the last location was. Most of these locations are in the Galil. And then the Gemara says, and the Rambam quotes it in the end of Hilchos Malachim, we have a tradition based on the Pasuk in Navi that Lossi Lover, when before Mashiach comes, the Bez Nagodol will reconvene in the same location where they last convened. It'll be like, let's say, Bez Nagodol goes to sleep the night and they come back the next morning. So where were they all night long? Recess. They were in recess. Now they were in recess for 1500 years. And they'll reconvene in the same location where they convened the last time. That's why the Mekubalim, when they moved to Eretz Yisrael, that's why they all centered around the Galil area, because they were hoping that the Bez Nagodol would reconvene over there, somewhere Shvarim, Tzipori, Usha, somewhere over there where they last convened. And the Gemara says in Erevin that Eliyahu HaNavi will come based on the Pasuk, etc. The Pasuk in the end of Nevuah of Malachi. So the Gemara understands the Pasuk Timin, Eliyahu HaNavi will appear before the Bez Nagodol, and he will identify who the Melech HaMashiach is, and the next day, the Melech HaMashiach will appear. So that's why they were hoping that the Bez Nagoda would reconvene somewhere over there, wherever the last location was, somewhere in the Galil. All the locations were in the Galil. So they wanted to be around when Elio, to be Mekabel Pnei Elio Anavi, and then the next day Mashiach would appear. So why should the Bez Nagoda reconvene in the same location if they don't have the status of Bez Nagoda? So the Pashtus from the Rambam, from the Gemara, is that there is a din of Bez Nagoda. If you have 71 Chachamim who have Smicha, and they're carrying on the tradition from the earlier generations of the Bez Nagoda, they do maintain the status of Bez Nagoda, even though they're nowhere near Yerushalayim. They're in the Galil, hours away from Yerushalayim. There is a din of Bez Nagoda. Apparently is only a din with respect to din and nefashis and respect to zaken mamre, but all the other for all other intents and purposes they do maintain the status of a Bez Nagoda. There is a Rav Elbala Soloveitchik points out that there is a fundamental machloikis between Rashi and the Rambam regarding the nature of the din of Ibra Hashanah. Why is there a din of Ibra Hashanah? So the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah that our calendar is in a certain sense an androgynous. He says the Chadoshim are lunar months and the Shanim are solar years. The Shanim have to correspond. Pesach has to be in the springtime, Chodesh Aviv, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot have to be in fall. And if you're not going to make a Shana Muberes, so then the year will not be a solar year. So the Rambam understands that the requirement to have Shana Muberes is intrinsic in the calendar. It's a din that just like the months have to be lunar months, so too the years have to be solar years. Sometimes, once in a while, there would be Ma'abiras Hashana for outside reasons. The Gemara in the first parak in Sanhedrin quotes Tosefta's from Sanhedrin that when they heard that the B'nai Chutz La'aretz started traveling towards Yerushalayim to participate in Korban Pesach, and there were big snowstorms and there were big rainstorms, whatever, and these people had invested a lot of time and money and effort and energy in coming to participate in Korban Pesach and Beis HaMikdash, and the Bez Nagoda saw that they're just not going to make it. They were slowed down for a week because of the weather conditions and they're just not going to make it, so they felt bad for them. So every so often they would make Shana Muberes, they would give them another month. Today people would go crazy, another month. Let's say you come to Yerushalayim to participate in Korban Pesach, then Bez Nagoda says next month. So what's going to be with the business? Everybody figures out exactly how much time they have to take off from work and so on. But apparently then life was much more relaxed. So Adarabbah, take another month to come to Beis HaMikdash. So this would make the people happy. So that's a totally extraneous consideration to make Shana Muberes. So or let's say you want to bring a Korban Pesach, and the Gemara says sometimes the goats, the sheep or the goats that you bring a Korban Pesach from, say Gidoyim and say Izim, the sheep were too young, they're too skinny, and you want to have that they should be a little fatter. So the Gemara says that's a totally extraneous consideration, and very often that would be the reason why they would make Shana Muberes. They would say, let the animals get a month older, let them get a little fatter, and then we'll bring the Korban Pesach from them. So these are totally extraneous considerations. Of course, Sir Avalvala Soloveitchik points out in a special Sefer HaKiddush HaChodesh that this is a fundamental machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. The Rambam holds that you can do Ibra Hashanah, sometimes it's done in order to maintain that the year should be a solar year. And sometimes it's done for totally extraneous considerations, in order that the animal should be fat enough to bring a Korban Pesach, in order that the pilgrim should be able to make it in time for the Korban Pesach. They left Goldius, Shenekrim, and Kaimar, and they were not able to reach the Yerushalayim in time. Rashi Shita is that all of the Ibra Hashanah is always done for extraneous reasons. Rashi seems to hold that there is no such halacha, that the year has to be a solar year. No. It's just halacha in Pesach, that Pesach should be celebrated in Chodesh Av, but it's not, so that's really an extraneous consideration. Just like bringing Korban Pesach from fatter animals that they should have what to eat is an extraneous consideration. On the Golis, you saw Shenekrim and Kaimam, the travelers who were on their way and they got stuck in a snowstorm. That's a totally extraneous consideration. And the Gemara says that that's acceptable. We learn out from Sukkim that you're allowed to declare Shana Muberes because of that consideration. So too, according to Rashi, that you want Pesach to fall out in the springtime, you want Sukkot to be Chag HaOsir, that's also a totally extraneous consideration. you want to make a Nidbar Hashana in order to make Pesach happy. What does it got to do with the year? The year is happy without Pesach being happy. You want Pesach to be happy, that it should be in the Chodesh Aviv. You want Sukkot to correspond to the Zman HaOsid. So according to Rashi, the whole institution of Nidbar Hashana is all based on Tzorech, all based on extraneous Tzorech. And the Rambam holds not so. Some of Nidbar Hashana is based on extraneous Tzorechim. There's the Golis Yisrael Shenekrim and Kaiman and the Gozlaya Rakikin Vimraya Datkin if the animals are too skinny. And then in order that should be a soul of the year, that's intrinsic to the year. The year lends itself to Yibar Hashana because you want that the year should be solar years. The months have to be lunar months and the years have to be solar years. So the Gemara says, the Gemara learns that from Adrasha, that just like we have the right to do Yibar Hashana Litzorah for extraneous reasons, so too we have a right to make Yibar HaKodesh Litzorah. Let's say the witnesses come and they testify that they saw the moon. And we should really declare the 30th day should be Rosh Chodesh, and the previous month should only have 29 days. But if Bezin has an extraneous reason why they want to, they should really make today as Rosh Chodesh, but if for some reason or another, why they want to declare tomorrow as Rosh Chodesh, so the Gemara says that's acceptable, just like by Yibar Hashanah. You have the right to make Yibar Hashanah Litzorah based on extraneous considerations. So that Gemara has this machlokes. On that Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, you have this machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. What are considered extraneous considerations? What are the extraneous considerations by the Yibar Hashanah? Rashi says all considerations are all extraneous. The whole institution of Yibar Hashanah is just based on Litzorah. And the Rambam says no. Some are Litzorah and some are. That's intrinsic in the year. You want the year to be a solar year. It's not that you did Yibar Hashanah Litzorah. Rambam writes famous line, yes. Finished. Rav Elbula continues on this theme. He gives a big nafkamina. I'm not going to go into everything
what
that he says.
Yeah. Also, Rabbi, what he's saying before, he mentioned the Tanakh Torah Shani, how they have the Sovak Torah and that they have the Torah. But now, who's supposed to be in charge of the Tanakh Torah Shani in the coming centuries? The Kodaya.
So the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that today when we observe Yom Tovim and Tzom, we have a calendar, we do not rely on our calculation that we who live in Egypt or in America that we make, we rely on the people in Eretz Yisrael who make the calculations. So the Ramban says, what is he talking about? There's nobody there in Eretz Yisrael making the calculations. We rely on Hillel Hasheni. Hillel Hasheni already established everything. He was Mekadosh Olah Chadoshim Ad Bias HaGoel, and he was Ma'aber Olam D'Shanim. He set up a whole system, a whole calendar, he wrote it down. And then he said, up until the time that there will be a Bezin of Smuchim who will declare Kiddush HaChodesh of Pi'ari and Yibar Hashanah the way it's supposed to be, I hereby, with the power vested in me as an Orthodox Rabbi, hereby declare that it should be Shana will bearish this year, that year, that year, that year, and this month should be 30 days, and that month should be 29 days. So he was Mekadosh Olah Chadoshim and Ma'aber Olah Shanim Ad Bias HaGoel. What is the Rambam, the Ramban writes in the Sefer Mitzvot, what is the Rambam talking about? That today we don't rely, we in Chutzlos don't rely on our calculation, we rely on the calculation that the people in Eretz Yisrael are making. So we don't rely on them either. Everything was all done by Hillel Hasheni. So obviously the Rambam does not agree. And the Rambam elaborates on this thing. The Rambam says because the people who live in Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam also knows that there's no Bez Nagadol in Eretz Yisrael. In the days of the Rambam, there were no Rabbonim. There were no Rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael. There were periods of time that there were only farmers. That's what the Chasam Sofer writes in the Tshuva. Who is there? Karmim, the Yogvim. They were farmers, plain Balabatim in Eretz Yisrael. What is the Rambam referring to? So the Rambam elaborates on the thing. He says in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and he has this in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Chayrus as well, that only the people who live in Eretz Yisrael constitute Klal Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz are Jewish, but they're not really considered Klal Yisrael. And the Kiddush HaChodesh and Yibar Hashanah has to be done by Klal Yisrael. Apparently the Rambam understood that the reason why you need Bez Nagadol, his understanding of this Mechilta de Rav Shimon bar Yochai, that the Kiddush HaChodesh and Yibar Hashanah has to be done by the Bez Nagadol, not because Bez Nagadol is the High Court, no, because Bez Nagadol is the Congress of Klal Yisrael. They represent the Das Rav HaKohol. They represent Klal Yisrael. And that's what it says in Tosefta in Sanhedrin, that when the Bez Nagadol, when the Bezin declares Kiddush HaChodesh and Yibar Hashanah, they have to do it Al Menashe Yaskinu HaTzibur. They have to do it with the approval of the Tzibur. When the Bez Nagadol pass from Shailas, they don't have to turn around and see whether the Tzibur is masking when they pass from the Shailas. they have the right to ignore everybody. The Supreme Court passes what they think is right. It doesn't matter whether the people are going to listen or not. But over here, it's a special din. When you make Kiddush on Chodesh Nisan Baruch Hashanah, the Bez Nagadol does it as representing the Tzibur. So they have to only do it on the understanding, on the condition that Tzibur will go along. If the Tzibur doesn't go along, then the Nisan Hashanah is not Chal, and the Kiddush on Chodesh is not Chal. Okay. By Chodesh Mali. But let's say by Chodesh Chaser, then you do need the act of Kiddush of the Bezni.
But on Chodesh Mali, there's no act of.
Okay. That the different opinions, that's how we pass them. By Chodesh Mali, you don't need an act of Kiddush.
Really, it's totally confused. So.
That's how the Rambam understands. It's not the Hillel HaShani establish everything at Bias HaGol the way the Ramban understands, but rather the Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael take back the authority that was originally given over to the Bez Nagadol, as long as there is a Bez Nagadol. So they represent Klal Yisrael, and they make the Kiddush HaChodesh Nibra Shana on their behalf. So Bishman Shein Bez Nagadol. So then the authority is returned back to the Klal Yisrael. Who are the Klal Yisrael? The Jews that live in Eretz Yisrael. And then the Rambam writes there in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he writes a Loshen, and if one were to imagine that there would be no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, Cholila, he writes, Cholila, such a thing couldn't happen, because Hashem promised Klal Yisrael would never cease to exist. And Klal Yisrael means the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So then he says, if one could imagine such a thing, there wouldn't be any Jews living in Eretz Yisrael at all, then there wouldn't be any Yamim Tovim. The whole calendar would collapse. Because the calendar has to be established by the Klal Yisrael who live in Eretz Yisrael. The people who live in Chutz Lo'ot are not called the Klal Yisrael. And that's what the Rambam, the Avnei Nezer, points out in the first Tshuva, the second Chelek in Orachaim. He points out that's what the Rambam repeats. And the Pirush HaMishnah is on Chorus, on Daf Chof Tes. He writes the same thing, that there are certain mitzvahs that have to be only fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Lo'aretz, even though it has nothing to do with agriculture. It's not from the mitzvah Satlois Boretz, but it has to be fulfilled only in Eretz Yisrael, because it's a mitzvah of the Tzibur, it's a mitzvah of Klal Yisrael, and only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are considered the Klal Yisrael.
The time of Sinai, they had this big calendar controversy.
Yeah, yeah.
At that time, wasn't compared to between the Gaonim in Eretz Yisrael and Watson Bagel, that Rav Sinai in favor of Watson Bagel
Don't know. The Rambam writes that he better have convinced the people in Eretz Yisrael of his opinion, because the people in Chutz Lo'aretz have no say on the matter. So it's according to the Rambam, according to Ramban, they were just debating what Hillel HaShani established. So whatever was established, and you got to be mevar what was established. And according to the Rambam, Hillel HaShani didn't have the authority to establish anything. It's the Klal Yisrael in every generation establish it as they go along. They determine which day will be Rosh Chodesh, and which year will be Hashana Pshut, and which year will be Hashana Moberet. Then the parasha continues with the main discussion of the Korban Pesach, the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, which consists of two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Shchitas HaPesach and a mitzvah of Achilas HaPesach. The Gemara says that Achilas HaPesach ain't a miyakeves. Let's say a person participated in Shchitas HaPesach. He was a shutif in a Korban Pesach, no makarvin in the Beis HaMikdash, and then something comes up, he doesn't feel well. On Pesach night he's unable to eat the Korban Pesach. If at the time of Shchitas HaPesach he doesn't feel well and he knows in advance that he's not able to eat the Korban Pesach, or he's in jail, let's say in Golan, and they're not going to let him free to go to Yerushalayim to eat Korban Pesach, so he knows in advance that he can't participate in the Achila, so then he's not Yotzei Shchitas HaPesach either. You're only Yotzei the mitzvah of HaKrovis Korban Pesach if you roi lechol kazayis balayla. But let's say at the time of HaKrovis HaPesach he was a shutiv, and he was tohar, and he was healthy enough, and he was able to eat a kazayis tachid achilas pas. And then, by the time it comes nighttime, something comes up, he doesn't feel well, or stomach, negligent, or whatever. The other people grabbed, they ate up the whole Korban Pesach, they didn't leave him anything. They started before him, till he finishes all his l'shem yichud, till he finishes all, he has more children, they tell more gematrias. So by the time he's ready to eat the Korban Pesach, they ate it all up already, there's nothing left. So then the Gemara says he doesn't have to bring Pesach Sheni, since he brought Pesach Rishon, so he's Yotzei the mitzvah. But there are two distinct mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah of Hakrovas Pesach. There's one mitzvah of Achilas HaPesach. He's not Yotzei the mitzvah of Achil if he doesn't eat, but he's Yotzei the mitzvah of Hakrovah, even though he doesn't get to eat the Korban Pesach, provided he was Royal Achila at the time of the Hakrovah. The Pasuk says, Ve'ochlas HaBosa Balaylo Hazeh. Pasuk in chapter Yud Beis, Pasuk Ches, so Tesvis in the first daf in Arvid Psachim has a chiddush, their own chiddush based on the pasuk, that since it says Achilas Habasa Balayla Hazeh, if you mekabel tosefes yantif early, you're not yetzer the mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach mibod yom during the zman of tosefes. That's the opinion that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Not all the Rishonim agree. The Tosefei Harosh and Brachas and Daf Chav Zayin suggest the possibility that otherwise, that even though it's not yet night, let's say the person is mekabel tosefes Pesach, he can finish the whole Haggadah, finish the whole thing, Echad Miyadeh, all the way till the end, while the sun is still shining, and then he can go visit everybody else to see what's doing by them. There's no halacha that you have to dafke, you have to begin the Seder Balayla. But the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is not so. Shulchan Aruch, we assume that from this pasuk we derive Achlas Habasa Balayla Zeh, because Pesach has to be Balayla, then it says, Umatis Amram Yochlu. So we understand that there's mana, matzah, and morer, and karban pesach, everything is balayla. So mele, sipi, yitzis, and tzam, we assume is also balayla. Because the only time you have the mitzvah of sipi, yitzis, and tzam, babizel, la, makil, b'shel, shesh, matzah, morer, menachem, lefanecha. So you only have matzah, morer, and karban pesach, menachem, lefanecha, balayla. So that's why in Shulchan Aruch it says that you're not supposed to begin the kiddush until after tzeisa kuchav. All based on this pasuk. But not all of Rishonim agree to that. All year long, this is a big machlekes also. To say kiddush during this man of Tosefes is a question that was raised by the Gemara in Brachas on Daf Chav Zayin. The Gemara says, "Rav Tzali Shal Shabbos Be'er Shabbos." The Gemara says, "Rav used to daven Ma'ariv early and Erev Shabbos to be Moisef Mechayla LaKodesh. He used to daven Ma'ariv after Plag HaMincha." So the Gemara has a sophic: would he say Kiddush or not? Can one fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush during this man of Tosefes? The Gemara comes to the conclusion that yes, that one can recite Kiddush even when the sun is still shining on a regular Erev Shabbos. Or the Pashtus is a regular Erev Yontif, you can say Kiddush Mebod Yom. No, if you can say Kiddush, it's self-understood that you can start the meal. You have to start the meal because then Kiddush Elav Amachem Suda. You have to start eating right after the Kiddush without too much of a pause in between. But the question is, the part of the meal that you ate Mebod Yom, are you Yotze the Mitzvah of Suda's Shabbos V'Yontif on that? Maybe you have to begin the meal right away so that the Kiddush should be B'malkum Sud, and maybe you have to eat so long so that you've eaten a Kazayas or a Kebetza, Yosemi Kebetza, whatever is needed. Balayla, maybe this halacha that one is not Yotze the Mitzvah, the way we assume, one is not Yotze the Mitzvah of Korban Pesach during this man of Tosefes, maybe it applies all year long, that one is not Yotze the Mitzvah of Suda Shabbos and Suda Yontif during this man of Tosefes. So that's a machlokes in Rishonim, the Tosefes on the first daf in Arvid Psochem, and it's quoted, the Taz in Hilchos Shabbos quotes this machlokes. So usually the minig is lahakil on that a lot of people are yotze the whole meal, they finish benching even before the sun sets in the summertime. But that's a machlokes, and on Pesach night generally people are machmer. There is a special dinner called Pesach.
That's the same question everywhere, Leil Pesach or Leil Shabbos.
No. There are more opinions who agree that Pesach you have to eat the meal balayla because it is possible achlas habasa balayla hazeh. And when Tosis develops this idea, this chiddush of the that you're not yotze Pesach matzah morer sipitzis and so on during this man of Tosefes, then Tosis themselves have the two opinions. What's the din all year long on a regular erev Shabbos or erev Yontif? Chiddush you may say during this man of Tosefes, that's a gemara brachas. In the Suda you have to begin right away. That's also Kiddush B'Machem Suda. But can you finish the whole meal in Mabod Yom? So Tosis in the first daf in Arvid Psochem has a machlokes. Right, here there's a
pasuk.
Tosfei Harosh.
Yeah. Isn't there
a machlokes
maybe concerning
Tosfos
Shabbos Yontif, whether it's
Daraisa
Rabbanan, and if so, would that have an impact on this
Kedira? For sure, yeah. Tosfos Shabbos is a machlokes, whether the obligation to observe Tosfos Shabbos is Daraisa Rabbanan. Like the Rambam paskens that is the Rambam never quotes a din of Tosfos, only on Yom Kippur. He never writes that one is obligated to be most of Mechoila Lakodesh on Shabbos Yontif, only Yom Kippur Lefano Voliakro. And Tosfos' opinion is not so. The simple reading of the Gemara Rosh Hashanah is not so. That there is a din of Tosefes on every Shabbos and every Yontif. So in Shulchan Aruch it's quoted as a machlokes. Yesh Omrim, Mechaber writes, Yesh Omrim, that it's a mitzvah lehosef mechol al hakodesh every Shabbos. So there's a question within the Rambam. According to the Rambam who says that min haTorah one is not obligated to be mosef mechol al hakodesh, what if you go ahead and you volunteer to be mosef? Is it chal min haTorah? But you say it's not even chal min haTorah. Maybe it's chal midirabban, maybe it's not even chal midirabban. All three possibilities are open. for consideration. The Achrayim have a whole debate. The Stechemi quotes a long arichus about this. What is the Rambam's opinion? The Rambam says that there's no obligation at all to be Moisek Mechayel al HaKadosh on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, only Yom Kippur. So what does he mean to say? No obligation, but if one volunteers to be Moisek, it's Chal Min HaTorah? Or no, no obligation, not Chal Min HaTorah, it's only Chal Min HaRabbah. Maybe not Chal at all. Everything is unclear in the Rambam. Kiddush Yotze. If he mekabel tosefes Shabbos, that the Gemara says he yotze kiddush, and Rambam gives an explanation why. I kiddush is deraisa. How can be yotze kiddush deraisa if this tosefes is not even chal? If you hold that tosefes is not even chal menatara, how can you be yotze? So the Rambam explains that the obligation to say kiddush in Abdullah, you don't necessarily have to say kiddush on Shabbos. You don't necessarily have to say Abdullah if the Shabbos is over. He quotes the Gemara says that if a person is in a rush on mitzvah Shabbos, he has to run with Dvar Mitzvah, and he knows he won't have an opportunity to recite Havdolah after Shabbos is over, so he's allowed to say Havdolah late Shabbos afternoon. He can't light a candle and say Bar Mi'ar Yaish, but he can say Bar HaMavda Mekadosh L'chol. He can say the Havdolah. So the Rambam explains why is that so. Because Kiddush and Havdolah should be recited at the time of Knisas HaShabbos and Yitzias HaShabbos, Samach Lo Lefana Bali Achrav, either soon before or soon after the Knisas HaShabbos, soon before and soon after the Yitzias HaShabbos. So the Rambam seems to be explaining this din. Why does the halacha permit you to be yotze kiddush if you mekabel Shabbos early, if Min HaTorah there's no such thing as being mekabel Shabbos early? So it's still Erev Shabbos. So he says, no problem. There's no halacha that says kiddush must be recited on Shabbos. You can be yotze kiddush on Erev Shabbos. If it's soon before Shabbos is about to enter, you can't say kiddush on Friday morning. It's too far in advance. You can't say kiddush at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. But if it's late in the afternoon, Samach L'Knisasai, or the same thing, Avdolah, can be recited on Shabbos. You don't have to wait Dafki till after Shabbos is up. Samach L'Tziyasai, or Lefan of Oliyachma. The Pasuk has a special din regarding Korban Pesach that is supposed to be eaten B'Chabura. There is a Machlekes HaTanoim in the Mishnah in Psochim. What if a person is prepared to eat the whole Korban Pesach on his own? It's not so big. The animals are just born this that season of the year. They're born in the springtime. So he wants to eat all the lamb chops. He doesn't want to share with anybody else. So that's a machlokes hatanaim, where the Pesach nishchat al hayochid. Can you shech the carbon Pesach where there is no chabura? So that's a machlokes. So if you hold in a Pesach nishchat al hayochid, so how many people do you have to have? Two. You have to have two people. If you have two people, it's already called a chabura. There's a strange targum yenison Ben Uziel, and today said on the pasuk v'nimat habayis miyos miseh in chapter Yud Beis pasuk Dalet v'nimat habayis miyos miseh. If there's not enough people in the household that they should eat up a whole carbon pesach, so then v'lakachu ishchena karveilov, so that he should join with his neighbor and they should participate together in a carbon pesach. So the Targum Yonason writes on this pasuk, and if there aren't 10 people in the household, implying as if you have to have a minimum of 10 people. Which is wild. We have no source for this. The Gemara, there is a shtickle source. The Gemara says that they took a census once on an Erev Pesach to try to determine how many people there were participating in Korban Pesach. The Gemara says how many Korbanos Pesach they were. How many? Someone was keeping track. How many Korbanos Pesach did they offer? And then the Gemara says they multiplied by 10 because Ein Lo Kol Pesach or Pesach she'ein lo at least 10 participants. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. They always had at least 10 participants. Gemara didn't mean to say Alpi Pasha that that's the halacha, that you have to have a minimum of 10. That was the Naiv Shabbalah. The average was, they always used to have at least 10. But it's not a halacha, it's a difficult, many, many, many difficult lines in the Targum Yonason ben Uziel. It's not by Yonason ben Uziel. The Gemara says Yonason ben Uziel only made a Targum on Novi. He didn't make on Ksuvim and he didn't make on Chumash. So it's some Targum Yerushalmi. It's a question of who wrote it. It was claimed that he has a lot of things that seem to follow the Karoim. Some claim that it's not at all from a holy source. It's from the conservatives. And others wrote Gantz in the Svarim to try to defend that, all the difficult passages in the Targum Yonason. This is one of the famous difficult passages. Now the Pasuk, Mi'im HaTabayis, Mi'os Miseh, he says that the Chabura has to have a minimum of 10 people. In the beginning of the second parak in Kiddushin, the Gemara derives, one opinion derives the principle of Shlucho Shlodim Kemoisai from this pasuk, Veshachta also called Kahala Das Yisrael Bein Ho'aboyim. What does it mean? Not only is there a mitzvah that you should participate in Korban Pesach, no, it's a mitzvah that each and every Jew should do the Shechitas HaPesach. How is that physically possible? How can every single Jew Do shchitas haPesach, you don't have each person bring his own carbon Pesach. You have 10 people mamuna. The normal thing is you have 10 people mamuna on one carbon Pesach. So you're only going to have one of them shecht. The Gemara says shnayim shochtim pasels by kotchim. You have two people shecht together with the same knife. They pasel by kotchim. So you can only have one person shecht. The Gemara says no. V'shocht also kalkal daso bin abayim is fulfilled by appointing a shliach. One person shecht on behalf of all of the 10 people. One person is shecht. The Gemara says need not necessarily be any one of the 10. It can even be a stranger. But the Gemara says it's based on the principle of Shalucho Shalorim Shalmaisa. One opinion in the Gemara is that this is the marker of the institution of Shalucho Shalorim Shalmaisa. It says Yeshech the Korban Pesach Shochtos of Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael Bein Ho Arboyim. Bein Arboyim is a difficult expression. The Ramban has great difficulty with it, but it means in the afternoon. It means you don't shech the Korban Pesach in the morning, you shech it in the afternoon. Vos heist in the afternoon. So the Gemara says you shecht it after the Tamash al Bein Arbayim. Unlike all year long, that all karbanos have to be sandwiched in between the Tamash al Shachar and Tamash al Bein Arbayim. That's called the essay of Hashlomo. It's a mitzvah essay. Aleha Hashleim kol karbanos kulam. You have to bring all the karbanos on the mizbeach achitzam before haktaras Tamash al Bein Arbayim. It's an essay of Hashlama. Aleha Hashleim kol karbanos kulam. So the one exception to the rule is Korban Pesach, that the bedavka has to be brought after the Tamash al Bein Arbayim. You're not supposed to bring it before in the course of the day. Tosis is not sure whether this exception to the rule applies also to Pesach Sheni. That never says explicitly in the Gemara. Maybe this exception to the rule is only Pesach Rishon. Maybe Pesach Sheni is supposed to be brought before the Tamash al Bein Arbayim. The Gemara never says. And the Mishnah says that they used to shecht the Pesach b'sholosh kitos. They used to have a big crowd of people would squeeze into the Azor, then they would lock the gates, and they would shecht the Korban Pesach. Then they would leave, and then the second crowd would shecht the Korban Pesach. They would leave, and then the third group would go. Where did this come from? That you shecht ein shochtem sa Pesach ela b'sholosh kitos, the three different groups. So the Gemara explains that it's based on the pasuk that it says Kahal Adas Yisrael. Kohol, the aid of Israel. Each one means another group. And then the Gemara, that's what it says in the Mishnah. And the Gemara explains that. And the Gemara says, but we're not so sure that that's what it really means in the Pasuk. Does it really mean you should shecht the Korban Pesach from three groups? It doesn't mean you have to have a minimum of 30 people at the time when you shecht the Korban Pesach. Kohol, and Eida, usually means 10 people. So Kohol, Eida, Yisrael, maybe means you should shecht the Korban Pesach with 30 people. Maybe the group should have 30 people. So the Gemara says, therefore we go the Chumra in both directions. That when they shecht the Korban Pesach, each group has to have 30 people. You have to have a minimum of 90 people present in the Azor. Yeah, I'm sure you had more than 90 people. You had hundreds of possibly thousands of people present in the Azor. But what's the bare minimum? So the Gemara says, Misafik, we're not sure whether this Kohol, the Eida, Yisrael means three groups, each group 10 each, 10 people each. Or it means you should have one group with 30 people at one time in the Azor. So therefore, we go the Chumra in both directions. What if B'diyeved al shecht the Korban Pesach in the morning? What's the din? The preferred time is Bein Arbayim. After the Tamash al Bein Arbayim. What if you bring it before the Tamash al Bein Arbayim? B'diyeved will be good. What if you bring it in the morning? It's not even Bein Arbayim. So that's a machlokes in the end of the first perek in Zvachim. We pass him the B'diyeved is no good. You cannot bring it in the morning. Korban Pesach has to be broiled, the pasuk says. All other karbanos, you eat it the way you enjoy it. And here it's a special din. Has to be dafke broiled. And it says, how do you broil it? Also a special form. You have to broil the whole Korban Pesach together. The Mishnah says they used to take a branch from a certain type of a tree. They didn't have a metal broiler. They would take a branch from a tree, a branch of wood, and they would stick it through the mouth of the animal, and it would come out the other end, and they would roll this around in the rotisserie. They would roll around. Why they use dafke wood? Because wood is not a conductor of heat. If they would use metal, a metal would conduct the heat. So the part of the meat of the Korban Pesach that would be touching the metal bar would be tzli machmas dover acher. It has to be tzli esh. Has to be all the meat of the Korban has to be broiled by contact from the flame. If the heat is going to cause the metal to get burning out, that's toldus esh. Then that metal is going to cook the Korban Pesach. That's called tzli machmas dover acher. that would be possible. You wouldn't be allowed to eat it. So the Mishnah picks out exactly what kind of wood is the least conductor of wood, the least conductor of heat, and they used to use that kind of branch to hold the Korban Pesach. And the whole Korban Pesach was one piece. They wouldn't divide it up into different pieces and broil it like that. Before they ate it, they cut it up into tiny pieces. You didn't eat it all together, but before they broiled it, they had to broil it all together. It's a special din. Rosh al krov al kibbut. In fact, the Rambam writes, when you have a Korban Pesach, you have to take out the chutei hadam and the chutei hacheler. The Gemara in Paragid Anoshim Chuvin, this thought, which arteries have to be removed. You can't just salt a piece of meat and assume that all the blood is going to come out. The blood from the capillaries is going to come out. But if you have big blood in the big fat arteries, that blood is not going to come out. That's going to sit there on the board. So the Gemara says you have to yank out those chutei dam. You have to take out the big arteries of blood in general. And the Gemara says this, the Rambam says the same regarding Korban Pesach. You have to take out the chutei chelev. Certain sections of chelev have to be removed. You can't broil the Korban Pesach all together with the chelev, with the dam. It's going to make everything trafe. So the Rambam writes, you remove the chelev and the dam, but he says you leave in the Giron Hashem. When you broil the Korban Pesach, you leave in the Giron Hashem. So the Ravid writes in his commentary on the side of the Rambam in Hilchos Korban Pesach, he always writes sharp expressions. So he says, if I would be there and the Rambam would bring this Korban Pesach, I would throw it on the floor and I would tell him it's puzzle. You see, chofta b'kar kalafonav, and I would tell him it's puzzle. What do you mean? You broil the Korban Pesach with the gid anasha, with everything, it makes a treif. Just like the Rambam writes, you have to remove the chutei chelim and the chutei dam. Before you broil the Korban Pesach, that the chelim and the dam should make the Korban Pesach treif. So you have to remove the gid anasha also. That's what the Ravid times. So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the Kesem Mishnah to defend the Rambam, that the Rambam obviously knows what it says in the Mishnah Chulin, that the Gid Anosha does not make anything else trade, because we assume that they begin with Isatam, that the Gid Anosha doesn't make trade. So they're not allowed to eat the Gid Anosha, but since it's not going to make anything else trade, so preferable is to broil the whole Korban Pesach together, as the Pasuk says, Rosh al krov al kibbut, should boil everything together. Either Shabbos, what about the Shulman Hagid? Morris says that the Gid Anasha ain't the Gid Menasin Tam, but then this fatty part on top of the Shuman Agid that you're not allowed to eat either. So what's the Shuman Agid? The fat is also ain't a Nasin Tam. Why should that be so? So that's two opinions in Tesis. Shuman Agid is not an Issa Derais. It's only a Xerim and the Rabbanon or to Gid Anasha. So Tesis has one opinion, which is not the accepted opinion. One view in Tesis is that since Gid Anasha itself ain't the Gid Menasin Tam, doesn't Aser, Tam Kiker. So the Shuman Agid, which is not their rice, only a Gzera de Rabbanon Otu Gid Anoshi, can't be more chomer than Shuman Agid. So even though Shuman, in fact, is nice and Tom, but you don't say Tom Kiker over here. The Shuman Agid does Nasa. That is not the accepted opinion. Accepted opinion is that even though Gid Anoshi does not Asa, ain't the Gid Menais and Tom, but the Shuman Agid does Asa. It comes up Allah HaMaisi, the Shaman. Sometimes it comes up Allah HaMaisi, whether the Shuman Agid Asa is or not. I remember recently, a couple of years ago, came up Halacha Maisa, so we passed on Halacha that the Shuman Agid does Asa. So this is the problem. If the Shuman Agid asks, how does the Rambam say you leave in the Gid Anasha with everything in order to fulfill the din of Rosh HaKrov Al-Kibra, everything all together, but it's going to make everything trade. So because Mishnah has an interesting answer which is relevant in other areas of Halacha. He points out that he doesn't think that Shuman Agid is even awesome at the Rabbana. He thinks that it's only a Minhog. Because the expression used by the Gemara in Perkei Anoshe is the Shuman Agid is Mutter, Yisrael Kedoshim Noagu Boisa, and the holy Jewish people have accepted upon themselves a minig. Yisrael Kedoshim Noagu Boisa. The minig is that we don't eat it. That's the diuk of the Keset Mishnah. Many years later, the Prima Gordon rediscovered this idea. He doesn't quote it from the Keset Mishnah. He also has such an Ein Fader. Maybe Shuman Agid is not even an Issa de Rabbanan. It's only Mitam Minig. So the Keset Mishnah says to defend the Rambam. He says, true, it's going to pose a problem that the Shuman Agid is going to make everything awesome. But he says, you have no choice because there's a conflict over here between a real mitzvah and a minig. When you have a conflict between fulfilling a mitzvah and a din derabbanon, so then very often the Gemara will say, you have to observe the din derabbanon even when it tells you to violate a mitzvah in the Torah. Yesh kof yachachamim yachadov min haTorah b'shevi al tasa. That's called Hamidu Chachamim Devrein Lamaka Mitzvah. The Chachamim insisted you have to observe the Din Derabbanan even when it comes in conflict with the Mitzvah, and you're going to fail to observe a Mitzvah. But the Kesem Mishnah says if Shuman Agid isn't given a Din Derabbanan, it's only a Minig. So whenever you have a conflict between a minig and a real din, so then he writes that l'chari the din takes precedence. So the din requires Rosh HaKrov al Kirba. You have to boil the Korban Pesach all together. The chutei chelav and the chutei dam, you have no choice. That's a real din. That's a din daraisa. Even chelav the rabbanon. So you have to remove all the chutei chelav and all the chutei gid. That it shouldn't make everything trade. But over here, the shulman agid is only a minig. So he says, when the minig is in conflict with the real din, so you have to observe the din. And you have to ignore the minig. This is relevant in other areas of halacha. Every so often there comes up a conflict between the observance of a real din, either a din deraisa or the observance of a minig. So the Kesa Mishnah understands from this Rambam that the din takes precedence over the minhag. The whole issue is one of minhagim. The Mishnah says if the minhag amakim is to eat sli al el pesach zeichel korban pesach, so eat sli. If the minhag is not to eat sli, so then you should follow the minhag not to eat sli. So by many svardim they have the minhag dafki yes to eat sli, to have zeichel korban pesach. By most, I think by all the Ashkenazim, the minhag is that we don't eat sli. So the whole thing is an issue of minhagim. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch Shulchan and others have two minhagim regarding sli kador. If you have pot roast, you just put in a little water that it shouldn't burn. But basically, it wouldn't be kosher for Korban Pesach because it's a sli machmas davarach, because the whole pot is metal. So that itself, that the pot is metal, that's still called sli. But if it's sli kado, you have a little water. So they're two minhagim on that. Most have the minig not to eat sli kado on Lel Pesach. But those have the minig yes to eat. Okay, you got to find out. Each family has to ascertain what is their minig. No. Unless you have a lot of water and it's being cooked. But if you just have a little water in order that it shouldn't get burnt in the pot, so then there are two minhagim. And I think the more prevalent minig is not to eat sli kadam al el pesach. There's a minority practice yes to eat sli kadam al el pesach. But Yosef Engel has an interesting essay. All of his essays are interesting. He has an essay in a sefer, Asvan Deraisa. Is there such a thing as a Gzera Deraisa? That the Torah prohibits something Gzera because of something else? And should we say that because it's only a Gzera to something else, maybe it should be less Chomer as the real McCoy, since it's only a Gzera A is only a Gzera to B? So he points out Iran on the first daf in Psochim, who seems to understand the Pasuk like that. That it says that there's a din about Yerah by Matzei because Kikalecha Machmetzes V'Nichrusot. It sounds from the Chumash that the reason Shivas Yamim here, chapter Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Tes, Shivas Yamim Sar by Matzei V'Techem Kikalecha Machmetzes V'Nichrusot, because there's an Einish Karei, so that's where the Torah introduced the din about Yerah by Matzei. And Iran has an Afkimina based on this assumption. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a whole list of other dinim deraisa that may possibly be based on a Siog deraisa. Din deraisa, that's a siyog for another day. Kol machmetzes lo sachelu, the concluding pasuk in Revi, the Rambam quotes l'aloch as a separate mitzvah in the minyan mitzvahs, that this he quotes based on the Mishnah in the third parak in Psochem, that this is the marker for the din of taruvus chametz. The taruvus chametz is also, but there's no kores. And the chametz doesn't gomer, there's kores. And in Tarubas Chametz there's no Chorus. So the Ramban doesn't understand, and the Sefer HaMitzvos he writes doesn't understand what in the world the Rambam is talking about. If it's Tarubas Chametz that is nice and tam, so it should be Chorus. Tam Kik, it should have Chorus. And if it's ain't nice and tam, so let it be bottle. So why is it Osir at all? He doesn't understand this Rambam. So there's a question exactly what is the Rambam talking about. The big literature in the Ragra talks about it, the Makevis HaMishnah and others. It's a big discussion. What exactly did the Rambam understand over here?
I understand that question so clearly. Isn't
Speaking about Achilas Pras, we have to give the people Achilas Pras to eat lunch. Okay, good. Chatzishia.